The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, The Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. With that intro, let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. H. Ruott, and filling in as a guest host on special invite from Catherine and the group. Thank you so much for filling in. And my golly, thanks for your response on last week's two shows I filled in, where I brought in the saga, the incredible true story of what's happening here in Utah with our gubernatorial race involving the People's Choice, Phil Lyman. Yes, folks, when the people make their voice heard in a caucus setting leading up to the state convention, as opposed to a Kamala Harris who just gets a rubber stamp at her convention without a vote, when the people say, we want a new change, we want a Phil Lyman to replace this hypocrite, this blue man representing himself to be a red guy, right? Now, enough. Two-thirds majority of the delegates said, we want Phil. And the law is clear, ladies and gentlemen. As I've told the story, and people just have responded like, holy mackerel. It's a big story. And nationally, and even internationally, it is a story. My goodness. If you subvert the people's choice, we no longer have a republic, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, for heaven's sakes, we don't even have a democracy, or should I say a demonocracy? We have chaos, ladies and gentlemen. We have rule. We have no rule of law. We have, check all of the above. We have a communist totalitarian state, basically. And that's not what our founding fathers enshrined in the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights. It's just not what our founding fathers envisioned. And it's not what countless of men and women have bled and died for in battles since the revolution was declared. Folks, this is as important a topic as you can possibly get a hold of. And it's the battleground is right here in Utah, believe it or not. Oh, well, is a governor's race important? Well, yeah, just ask Kamala's running mate, Governor Walz of Minnesota. Why Governor Walz? Why not a Phil Lyman as a running mate for Donald Trump? Maybe because, well, he's not governor yet? Maybe they want to keep the honesty and integrity of a Phil Lyman out of the picture. They want to hide him in the closet. Lock away the key. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Power Hour, Phil Lyman, governor-elect of Utah. I'm just going to say it up front. You are should be governor. No hands down. You won the convention. You won the people's voice. Welcome to the Power Hour, Phil Lyman. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Dr. Ott. I love your energy, and I'm always glad to kind of see where you're at on these things. So thank you.
Phil, it's a battle we all have to face. And I'm not talking about just here in Utah. I'm talking across the length of this great country, from Maine to California. This is a battle for we, the people. I can't say it any stronger. So I am very, very energetic about it. I'm 65 years old. I'm getting into my senior years, okay? There is no better sword to fall on than the sword of freedom. I mean, what else can we do as people? You're getting a few gray hairs in your hair, too. We don't have a whole lot of time left as far as maybe 25, 30 good years left. But you're doing this. I loved your rally Thursday. I loved what your remarks, 100% everything that was said, not only you, but God bless Natalie Clausen, your lieutenant governor running mate.
Yeah,
she said all the right things. It's not about you. It's about transparency in government and having the we the people. I got to tell them, we don't have a video of this, but here's this. She must have been all 2 years old. She's this little intelligent 2 year old girl dressed up, you know, with a full length shirt, Phil Lyman for governor, right?
Yeah.
And she walks up and steals the show as you're giving your remarks. It couldn't have been better because that's what it's about right there. The youngsters coming up, our grandkids, our great it's called our posterity, right? I mean, man, it was we couldn't have scripted that better.
Yeah. Well, and you do. You have the juxtaposition of our posterity, of people at a rally, you know, leaving their jobs to come up and hear and have their voices heard, compared to the syndicate that I call it, which is made up of a bunch of elected officials and wealthy people and oligarchs, and they want to say, you know, we control things. You're not popular with us, therefore you should go away and stop even trying. Where you go to the people and they say, we want something different. We're done with the syndicate. We're done with this, you know, this cabal that's running the show. And they vote that way. And they say, well, we really don't care how they vote. We really don't care about any of that. We are not giving up the power, and there's nothing you can do to force us. Least of all, an election. You know, an election is not going to get in the way of what they're doing, and they've proven that across the nation. And they're the ones that come out so strongly, you know, election integrity. We are the most secure election system in the history of mankind. And you, how dare you question this and doubt the doubters? Don't doubt the government and all of this nonsense that the average person is saying, this does not compute. There's a disconnect when you hear government telling you over and over, you must trust us. And if you don't, you can go to jail and sit in jail, just like, you know, several hundred people are doing now. It's bizarre. We're living in 1984. It's dystopian.
Yeah, it couldn't said it better myself. Well said, Phil. Thank you. And so where do we go from here? You sent me a press release early this morning, and I read it, and I was like, wow, very well done. You're still working on that particular press release. And I loved interviewing Natalie. You couldn't have chosen a better lieutenant governor running mate, period. She is so down to earth. And, you know, you've heard the saying, Phil, the eyes are the window of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
I looked deep into those blue eyes of Natalie Clausen, and I saw her soul.
There is no agenda there, only the truth. She's only interested in the truth.
And she's a mother that wants to fight for the rights of her children and her grandchildren. That's what I saw in Natalie Clausen.
Yeah, she is something else. I agree. And what a breath of fresh air in a political landscape to have somebody like Natalie Clausen who steps forward. And I mean, she didn't want to be the lieutenant governor candidate. When I first approached her, she says, I don't think it's the right time. I've got kids. I've got this. She thought about it for a day and called up and said, I have to do this. She's fought for so much, you know, religious freedoms and rights for parents and of course elections. So she's no stranger to this whole thing, and it's really special.
Yeah, I asked her that first question in my interview that I taped. I said, what in the world prompted Phil to even ask you, first of all, and why? What's your agenda for accepting? And that's when I looked deep into her eyes and saw her soul. Completely. Sometimes as an interviewer, when you ask the right questions, you look deep into the person's eyes and you see either deceit, deception, or pure, unadulterated honesty. I saw honesty in her eyes, powerfully so.
You know, that for our campaign, and we've emphasized this over and over and over with the people that we work with, it's all we care about is telling the truth. We want to be authentic. The main reason, I mean, besides the fact that it's the right thing to do, people are so hungry for it, and they recognize it. The average person recognizes if you're if you're authentic versus telling them what they want to hear. I mean, this is, so you've got Spencer Cox now. He basically takes my website and runs those as all of his platforms. It's like, oh, now you're against DEI when you were for it. Now you're for access to public lands when you're against it. Now you're for, you know, you're fighting against climate change when you were for it, you know? I mean, just across the board, and hopefully, you know, the politicians support him, and you know, it's like, oh, the emperor, you know, look at that fancy set of clothes. But the average person is saying, what is going on here? You support Donald Trump all of a sudden, you know, last week you want to punch him in the face, and now you're going to Arlington with him and doing photo ops. And oh, it's just, it's repulsive to the average honest person observer. Yes. So.
And that goes back to, I was having a discussion early this morning with some neighbors up in my place, my neighborhood. I got to tell you, Phil, one of my good friends was a delegate to the state convention. His name is Tim. He's an amazing individual, wealth-wise, education-wise, knowledge-wise, and his wife, Becky, both said, we were there. We voted. We saw. We were originally Cox supporters. They told me the story of why they changed their leanings from Cox to Phil Lyman. And you should have heard. I wish I should tape them. Because they said, we were just there to be objective. We took an oath to listen, to weigh the platforms. That's what we do as delegates, right? And they says, what really rang true in our deepest hearts was the integrity and sincerity and honesty of Lyman, period. He says, yeah, won us over.
Yeah, the convention was phenomenal. It was epic, and it was real. And again, the contrast, I'm not a great orator or, you know, a great speaker, but the contrast of me on the stage and then Cox on the stage or vice versa, it's like, yeah, people saw it. People saw, hey, there's somebody here that's telling us the truth. Another person who is, number one, when Cox was there, he's reprimanding the delegates, telling them they're irrelevant. Their vote doesn't matter. And it's like, what are you doing? I mean, he really dropped the ball. And this is this gets to what we're talking about now. You know, if you drop the ball and you don't make the touchdown, you don't get the points, even though you say, well, I could have made a touchdown. Well, I could have done this. And this is what we're hearing now from the syndicate, from the elected people in the state and the media is, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Phil's wrong no matter what he says. Spencer Cox is right no matter what he says. And we're going to push that narrative on people and keep beating them up. If they disagree with us, they will be sorry because we'll beat them up. And it's like that they can do that all day long with Natalie and I, because we're not affected by the negativity.
I've said this for 30 plus years in radio broadcasting, Phil. I'll say it again here today on the record. The mantra of Joseph Goebbels is simply this: tell a people a lie often enough and forcefully enough, they begin to believe it is truth. And that's what's happening here with this controlled media. You are not been given a fair shake. And you have to ask why. I mean, Utah, Deseret News, the KSL, the media, where were they at your rally on Thursday? Non-existent. Well, there was a reporter there from Deseret, but that's it.
You know, yeah, and Deseret News, I think they're the worst media organization in the state. The Trib, you can depend on them to twist a story. I mean, that's kind of the role that they play, and we know who they are. The Deseret News tries to portray themselves as having some level of virtue, and they don't. They've sold their soul. I cannot stomach dealing with the Deseret News. And yeah, they had two reporters there talking to me about, you said that Governor Cox, or you said that the report said there was fraud. I said, I didn't say that the report said that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And I said, but the report, and then they say, but the report says there was no fraud. I said, it doesn't say that. These are people who do not understand what an internal audit process is. They're not going to come out and say there's fraud. They're not going to come out and say there is no fraud. They're going to say, this is a report. This is what we found. And I'm getting off track here a little bit, but that report, the fact that internal auditors put out their results, number one, before the election, because they didn't have to. And number two, that they put out the results that Spencer Cox likely did not get his signatures from internal auditors. That's huge. You would expect it from an independent firm. That's what you want them to do. But for internal auditors to do that, to me, it's code for, hey, people, you better pay attention to this. I was very proud of the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate for allowing that report to go out, because they could have blocked it. They're the head of the audit committee. And so all of these things came together to tell Utah, you should open your eyes and pull on this thread. And that's all that the internal auditors did, is say, here's a thread. Why don't you pull on this? Because our statistics show he likely did not get his signatures. It's massive. It's ground shaking. So,
and that's it, Bill. You know, I graduated in accounting. You're a CPA. We understand what an audit is. You're exactly right. I turned down an internal audit position at Burlington Northern in Minnesota. I absolutely did. You know, that's part of Walz's story, you know, coming out of Minnesota. Minnesota is a sleeper, okay? It really is. But you understand, that's exactly right. You use numbers to draw statistical inferences. That's what an auditor does. And so the audit report is not about saying somebody's right or wrong, guilty or fraudulent or whatever. It just shows, here's the numbers. It points to this. The key number is 572, right? That's right. The structural number that says that's how many net false signatures, which makes them under 28,000, which means simply, in easy to understand lay language, he did not meet the threshold. Ergo, he's illegitimate.
Yeah. They do this based on statistics, and statistics are you know, very accurate. They can tell you know, this is 95% there. So two things, there's one of two things that has to happen. Either he has to say, you know, I didn't meet it. You know, I apologize to my opponent for saying all these mean things. I didn't meet the threshold. I'm done. Or the lieutenant governor drops him out. Or he says, I demand a full forensic audit of all 28,000 signatures. I think I got it. But he obviously doesn't think he got those 28,000 signatures, or he would have been saying that from the very beginning, instead of saying, you can't look at my signatures, or the lieutenant governor saying, how dare you ask to look at the signatures? A week before we asked to look at the governor's signatures, they were inviting people in to look over all of the nomination petitions for state school boards and state senators. It's like, oh yeah, obviously you can look at these nominating petitions up until we asked to see Governor Cox's. And then it was like, no. And I think they were in panic mode behind the scenes. And so the response is, okay, not only are we not going to let them look at the signatures, let's attack them. Let's go after them. Let's throw another lineman on the ballot just to create a diversion and create chaos and create all these things. And the biggest frustration, the biggest disappointment to me, is the Utah GOP for not standing their ground and saying, we want an honest candidate to be our nominee. Had they done that, they probably would have had me on the ballot. But now what they've got is Spencer Cox on the ballot, who will likely be disqualified, and all the votes for Cox will just be not counted. They're going to end up without a Republican on the ballot. I think that's very likely that that's what's going to happen.
Well, they can, yes. And that's the wild card in this horse, in my opinion, is the Utah Supreme Court. They completely have the ability to rule on this and to call a special election. Bring in the Democratic nominee, bring in the Republican, bring in an independent, but have it separate. There's no reason why they can't. Nothing set in stone that it has to be the 5th of November Tuesday. Doesn't have to be. The U.S. The U.S. Supreme Court can rule on it. So can the Utah Supreme Court. And have... You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to print up another ballot and have a special election. It just doesn't. But the question is, will they? It goes back to, I don't want this hot potato on my desk. I'm going to pass it along. I'm not going to hear this. I don't want to be on the hot seat. I don't want to put my big boy pants on or my big girl skirt on and make a draw a line in the sand. I don't want to be controversial.
Well, and here, you know, we brought our case to the Utah Supreme Court a couple of months ago, and said, hey, this is a problem. We don't believe that Spencer Cox got his signatures. We don't believe that he won the primary election. We can't look at either one of those, and both are important if you're going to circumvent the caucus system to get on the ballot, and you've got to get signatures and win a primary. And we can't look at either one of those. We can't verify a single thing. And we called for his disqualification then. Of course, they came back with basically a statement that says, we don't like you. Go away. We don't want to hear from you. You're not popular. You're not. And those things somehow seem to resonate inside, you know, the syndicate and on Capitol Hill. It's like, that's what really motivates people. The problem is, you've got to look at the facts. You've got to say, well, wait a second. Let's take a look at this. Did he get his signatures? If they had asked that question, they could have said, could somebody give us some information on this? And they would have asked for the, you know, a little bit of an audit, a tiny fraction. And then they would have asked, why is this so closed? Why is there no transparency in this process? And instead of doing that, they said, go away, Phil Lyman. You're an idiot. Almost literally, and you know, Judge Durant was like, I'm not going to hear this case. You know, it's open and shut. You have no basis. You have no case. I don't bring things baselessly. I don't make up stuff because I want to be the governor. In fact, all of this, my run for governor was to expose what I knew was going on in this system. And it's been a miraculous that we've actually been able to uncover it. When we didn't go away after the primary and said, well, we're not going away because... And why are we not going away? Because I said in the debate, when they asked the question, will you accept the results of the election? I said, we will verify the results of the election, whether we win or lose. Exactly. And we're going to do it. We are going to. It's like, I want to see the results of the election. I want the cast vote records or for a qualified independent party to look at the cast vote records. It's something. But to just say, you know, how dare you ask for transparency? Utah is the least transparent state in the nation. I believe there is no state that compares to our lack of transparency. And to have a Republican state, a red state that treats people this way and disregards their right to, you know, observe their own elections, it's astonishing, and it's got to change. The governor's race is secondary to the fight that we're fighting, which is this has to change.
It does, absolutely.
Empower your day by tuning in to the Power Hour live from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time for dynamic discussions and electrifying energy. Got a burning question or a hot take? Call in at 888-429-5471 and be part of the conversation. Can't catch us live? No sweat. Replay the show anytime, anywhere by visiting thepowerhour.com. Want to stay ahead of the curve? Sign up for our daily newsletter and get exclusive show archives and guest info straight to your inbox. Prefer podcasts? We've got you covered on all major platforms and devices. So whether you're tuning in live or catching up on your commute, Power Hour is always within reach. Don't miss out. Join our community and make every hour a Power Hour because your day deserves a boost.
500 milligrams capsules are here to help you on your journey to better health. Why choose Richardson Nutritional Center? Because we believe in providing you with the very best. Our products are meticulously processed to maintain their natural integrity and efficacy. Your health and satisfaction are our top priority. So what are you waiting for? Embark on a natural journey to wellness today. Head over to thepowermall.com or give us a call at 877-817-9829 to place your order. Discover the health benefits of vitamin B17 and take a step towards a healthier, happier you with Richardson Nutritional Center. Act now and feel the difference.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877 877- 817-9829.
Change only happens when we the people become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your guest host, Dr. H. Ruot. Yes, this is the Power Hour. Yeah, the first half an hour, we had a great conversation with, and still continuing the conversation with, gubernatorial candidate in Utah, Phil Lyman. Phil, thanks again for coming on the show. Wow. Again, why do we have a judiciary? Let's just talk about this straight up. We have the three branches of government. We have the executive, which is the governor. We have the legislature, House and Senate, and we have the judiciary. There's a reason for the judiciary, as you say, it's to clarify legal issues. The Senate Bill 54, which was passed to bypass the caucus and convention process, right? Can that supersede the voice of we the people and the fact you got two-thirds vote of the delegate vote? The law is clear. Now we need the Supreme Court to basically clarify the law. Does Senate Bill 54 supersede in every way the voice of the people if you got over, a two-thirds majority? Again, looking at this as myself as an armchair attorney, I'm not a barred attorney like your running mate is, but it's pretty clear to me that the law says you get two-thirds of the vote or over 60%, you're directly in to the general election in November. End of story. It's unequivocal. The Senate Bill 54 is a bunch of mealy-mouthed nonsense. And this was the debate when SB 54 was brought up. What's going to happen in case of this type of scenario? That's not going to happen. The people aren't going to do that. There's no such thing as overriding the convention vote. That's exactly what's happened, Phil. And it's wrong that the Supreme Court, what is there, five Supreme Court justices to sit down and to write a majority vote or not? Put your big boy pants on and make a line in the stand. It's this to me, Phil, being lukewarm and saying, oh, well, we don't want to touch this one. It's a political hot potato. That's wrong with a capital W. It's what you're paid for, Supreme Court Justice, not to worry about appeals and this type of overruling this. No, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's the most important thing you folks right. Put your robes on for, in my right. opinion.
Right. Well, and if you take a step back away from the chaos and the emotion and the politics of it, you take a step back and you say, okay, what do we have in our state or in our country? And we have these elections. There are things that are put in place for us to help to get a representative form of public or a representative form of government. And you have access. You can look at these things. You can say, okay, well, I want to at least look at this part of the ballot. And if the answer is no, 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 then you're left with basically saying we will do whatever we want. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's essentially what the lieutenant governor was saying. She sent a letter out to all of the clerks of the state. Do not give them any information, anything they ask for. Do not give them the information. So we do a grammar request saying, hey, first, in early June, we went and said, we've got a concern about these signatures. And we started saying that. Natalie went straight to the lieutenant governor's office and says, I want to see the packets. No, you can't see the packets. We do a grammar request. We go through the grammar process. Then that sends us to the state record. Of course, that's denied. So we go to the state records committee. They say, oh, well, there's an investigation going here. There's this happening. You can't look at these records. So they deny the records request. Then we go to court and we do a motion to expedite. And the judge says, there's no urgency here. We don't need to expedite this. Come back in December. Come back next year. We'll talk about it then. I mean, absurd stuff. So we appeal that. We're still in court. We're going through all this process. And in the meantime, finally, somebody comes out, the legislative auditors, and they say, it looks like Spencer Cox didn't get his signatures. And it's like, thank you. We could have handled this through the State Records Committee. We could have handled it through the Lieutenant Governor's office. We could have handled it in any number of ways prior to getting to this point where now we're in mid-cycle of this election. And it's going to be a problem for the GOP. They should have fought with us. They should have said, wait a second, you can't circumvent our system and then say, you can't look at my signatures or my election results.
Well, Tim, like I said, my friend and neighbor asked me, he says, what's your thoughts on the caucus and the delegate vote? I says, as an accountant, looking at the numbers, numbers don't lie, but liars fudge numbers, okay? If you have the honest numbers on, you know, in front of you to look at, then you can pretty much determine what's going on. That's why you fought. The old saying is so true, Phil. Follow the money.
Right.
Follow the money.
Always. And
if you hide the money, right, you hide a lot of crime. And so, it wasn't the Fed, the G-men that brought down Al Capone. It was a lowly accountant. Okay, that followed the money, and
this is one tiny thing that this governor has done that are just, it's just wrong, but you can't nail them down. They won't let you look at anything. We finally get one thing. It's like, okay, this is a smoking gun. Literally, it is a smoking gun. And what they come back with was like, yeah, but he had 28 more days. He could have gotten his signature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this, and they just start to like, it's just like making up nonsensical, rationalizations to bypass this.
But
it's not going to work. I'm afraid it's not going to work. If I go away, if I said, look, I'm done, I'm not fighting this fight anymore, at this point, this would not go away because the cat's out of the bag. It's like, all right. And if he takes office, if he becomes the governor, the vast majority of the state is going to know that they have an illegitimate governor. And if that's what he's comfortable doing, then, it's going to be to the detriment of Utah.
You know, there was a famous, infamous University of Utah football game. And I witnessed it. I watched it. And it happened again just last weekend, actually. I wasn't sure if it's a collegiate game or a professional football game, NFL game. The runner had evaded all of the opposition. It was approaching the goal line, and overconfident, threw the ball, fumbled the ball, just left the ball on the 1 yard line, thinking he'd cross the plane. No, he didn't. They can argue, oh my goodness, let's do a replay. He didn't cross the plane, but he could have. Give it to him anyway. It was wide open. He got it. No, the rules of the game says this. You have to cross the plane of the goal. What part of this don't you get? Now, it's like this in the game of life, Phil. You fudge the rules. You fudge the law. You have anarchy. If you don't follow the rules of crossing the plane of the goal, throw the whole game out because it's meaningless.
Exactly. Yeah. Then what does any of it make? And that's where we're at with SB 54. It's like, well, if I can get signatures and I don't have to verify the signatures, I don't have to do anything, then those signatures are now meaningless. I think this is a huge blow to SB 54, and it's definitely a huge blow to gathering signatures. People will think twice. I mean, no one has ever challenged the signatures of these candidates in the past. And I'm not saying that there's broad cheating. You know, there are a few different companies involved, and the auditors showed that the company that Spencer Cox used had a much higher level of problems than some of the other companies. And I think they were cavalier. I think they really thought no one's ever going to look. Don't worry about it. What can they do? We've got the governor on our side. So
if there ain't no dead body skeletons in your closet, then open the door.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, this like insult to injury stuff. So the night of the election, the night of the primary election, 26 minutes in, the AP or whatever declared victory for Spencer Cox. He gets on immediately and gives a speech and condemns me for not conceding. And I said, look, I just want to wait. I mean, we barely had the tip off of the game. You know, it's like, let's at least wait till halftime. And maybe maybe we can talk about it then, but to say, you know, Phil Lyman won't concede. And then he said something that I think is really relevant to this. And he says, if I lost the election, even by 5 votes, I would concede immediately. So it's like, all right, Spencer, it looks like you didn't get signatures, 80 votes shy, at least concede. Just call up and say, I didn't get my signatures. Either that or call for a forensic audit.
Hey, I would go further than that, Phil. You lost in the convention, you bozo. You lost resoundingly. Pack it in. Pack in your Dumbo tent and go play some other circus someplace else. You lost fair and square in convention. Pack it in.
And it's never happened before. There's never been an incumbent governor that failed to get 40% at convention and force a primary, at least to force a primary. So
I'm sorry, I was a delegate. I forget the exact year. It's when, Senator Bennett was shocked at convention. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was there too. That was my first state convention.
You know, what did Senator Bennett do? Cry. No. He was a statesman and backed out as the will of people spoke. You got to give him credit for that.
Right. Right.
And that's what I told him today, my friend. I said, you know, look at the demographics of who are the delegates. It's gained by population, you know, of you've got the large amount of delegates from Salt Lake and Utah counties, but then every county in the state is represented. It's what's right with Republicanism, the Republican form of government. It is the grassroots. And most of the time, I say 99% of the time, the people are smart enough to know. If they care enough to come in and become a delegate, and if they have a heart that's objective, like Tim, is a brain to think with, okay, well, I like what Cox is doing, a lot of things economically, but wait a minute. Let's hear what Phil has to say. And Phil, you swayed him. That's important. Your message
it is important.
Was pure. If you subvert that, you throw away all the rules of the game. You have no more football game rules. That's my point. We have anarchy as a result. We don't have a Republican form of government, a republic. We don't have it anymore. So stick a fork in us, we're done. This is why this is so important, ladies and gentlemen, why this governor's race in Utah will send ripples all the way to Washington, D.C. District of Criminals. It needs to.
You know, I've appreciated a couple of national figures that have called me in the last 2 days and said, this is the biggest election story in the United States right now. Why is your media not covering it there in Utah?
And I said, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's the right question. And I said, and I told him, I said, I'm on podcast after podcast. There is a media section that is covering this, but it's not going to be the mainstream media. So thank you for covering. And I hope some of the mainstream media is listening. I mean, I'm getting texts right and left. Can you give me this? Can you give me that? It's like, no, I don't talk to you people anymore. All you do is lie about these things. You take the truth and you write the opposite in your stories and expect people to believe it. And honestly, they can write whatever they want at this point. If people don't have discernment, if they can't see through what's going on, then they're not going to be people that support freedom and, a Republican form of government, as you said, you know, and that's what we were guaranteed. This is a Republican form of government, is the convention system, is the precincts and the delegates and all those things. The other, you know, this idea of, you know, a threat to the democracy, it's like that is what they're trying to indoctrinate us. That, oh, you want a Republican form of government, that means popular vote by everybody. And it's like they're perverting that whole idea. What does it mean to have a Republican form of government?
Let's throw this into a bigger picture. This is something that the mainstream media just won't cover on the national scale. we have Kamala, who's, man, she's such a liar. I mean, she can play fast and loose with the truth. She says, oh, I got these. I mean, I worked my way up working at McDonald's. No, there's no history whatsoever to the Social Security Administration. She ever flipped a burger at McDonald's, okay? And so what did President Trump do? He went and took 45 minutes, put on his Golden Arches apron, and went in and flipped burgers at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, classic.
It was classic. And he actually manned the drive-thru. And he had a soundbite, the whole thing he did it for. And I think it was genius, whoever this is. Now I can officially say I've got worked 15 more minutes on McDonald's than Kamala has.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, yeah, that's taking true. Something instead of, you know, making it all serious, just go and, you know, show it for what it is. Show the hypocrisy for what it is.
But see, it's bigger than that too, Phil. That's why it's so genius. It hits people where they work. I mean, people in America, for whatever, for good or for bad, they'll drive through and get a coffee and a donut and a pastry at McDonald's or an Egg McMuffin. That's part of Americana. Okay, don't lie about that. Be honest and transparent. I mean, people, again, it goes back to who is telling the truth here? Who do you trust? Do you trust this? I'd even say loosely, she is so evil. It's because she's such a liar, fraud in every shape of the word. Do you want to trust her with the key codes for the nuclear arms? I mean, come on. Be honest, people.
Yeah.
What's your best? I mean, let's be frank. I was blown away, Phil, watching the 60 Minutes when she was just after she gained the nomination, when she made the reference. So sometimes you guys hawk Tua and spit on that thing. Mm-hmm. I looked at what? What? How was that not edited? But it wasn't. She was basically saying, I slept my way to the top. That's what she was really saying, in my opinion. All right? How does that equate to meeting with Vladimir Putin or a Benjamin Netanyahu? Hey, guys, I got a private meeting for you in this private room. Let's go take care of business. Do we want that as Americans? Do we deserve better than that as Americans? I would say not only yes, we deserve better. Hell yes. How is she even on the ballot? Frankly, let's be honest. So
yeah, she didn't win a primary. Nobody voted for her. She got zero votes, and she's the candidate all of a sudden. It's like, yeah, that is like, how does this happen? But in this 1984 world that we're living in, anything can happen, and we're just supposed to, you know, move along. Don't question. Don't ask. And it's crazy.
Yeah. So the media just blasted Trump over that McDonald's incident. I mean, just blasted on all the way. Look at this. He's just such a threat to democracy. He's attacking Kamala over this silly little McDonald's thing. No, it's not silly. It's hardcore root of the problem.
Yeah, and to bring it, you know, back to Spencer Cox, the night of that he gave his speech, the person says, "What do you say to the conservatives who, you know, say this about?" He said, "They're not conservatives. They're not conservatives." And she said, "Well, what are they?" He said, "They're populists. Like they're dirty, awful populists." Well, the opposite of populist is an elitist, and I'd rather be a populist than an elitist. And this is where Trump is like, all of the elitists, they're losing their minds over him. And he's saying, well, that's all right. The people love me and the people do love him. Why? Because he goes to McDonald's and he says funny things and he's got mean tweets. And it's like, the guy is so relatable. And you don't get the impression ever that he has this, you know, this underhanded scheme to cheat the American people. But the elites, man, they are losing their brains on Donald Trump and everything he does and everything he says. And I feel the same thing is happening on a you know, different scale here in Utah.
You're right. You're exactly right, Phil. And again, thank you for the time. We're getting, you know, few more minutes left in the interview. And again,
I do want to point out one thing if I got a second to do it, and it's yeah. And this has never been talked about until the legislative auditors pointed out, and they said, we looked at all the packets. How do they say that? Even the packets that the Davis County Clerk Office flagged for having many non-matching signatures and were subsequently sent to the Attorney General's office. These are a bunch of packets from Spencer Cox that aren't in any of the numbers because...
Whoa, that's huge.
It is huge. It's like, oh, we're counting all your packets, Governor. We're not going to count. We're not going to even count these or include them in the total. We're going to take them straight to the Attorney General's office, which means there's some kind of an investigation going. But nobody will talk about that. So we're talking about, you know, like he's got a very clean operation. Oh, except for these things that we kind of. So basically, they sanitized his whole operation before they actually said, okay, now we'll count these. That's why he came up with a razor thin margin. 492 extra votes is razor thin on 28,000, you know, compared to his, you know, John Curtis and Derek Brown, who had, you know, several thousand extra, or Jason Walton, who turned in like 50,000 signatures just to make sure he could get the 28,000. Spencer Cox didn't have to do that because he assumed he had all of these other signatures that they said, no, clearly these are fraudulent packets, these signatures. And so you're wondering, well, where's the prosecution on that? Where's the news story on that?
Yeah, where is the Attorney General on this? Because I remember I sent you a text and you responded to it, golly, 2 or 3 months ago. And I brought this very thing up. If one of those signatures is forged, it is called intrinsic fraud. And then if intrinsic fraud then can be proven through the Attorney General investigation, it voids all. Fraud voids all process. That's why it's so important not to have one single forged signature, period.
Now, yeah, or at least you have a system that finds those and reports them. Hey, this was fraudulent, and you do something about it.
Yeah, because fraud voids all contracts, and this is... One of the things I did ask Natalie in my interview with her, she looked at me and she says, you're exactly right. I asked her the salient question, how strong is your case? And she says, extremely strong. And it is. You have got a perfect running mate. She's a fireball.
She's fearless. She is fearless. And she's so nice about it. And she's so kind.
Right.
Absolutely fearless.
She puts an iron fist in a velvet glove, and that's what you need with this one, I tell you. Wow, so where do we go from here, Phil? You've got this press release going on. I know you're very busy taking the time for an hour's interview. Is fantastic. Thank you. I would just say, gosh, it is the most important political story in the cycle in America, period.
Yeah, we're working with the State Central Committee. There's like I say, a lot of members there that are very concerned about this, and rightfully so. So we're working with them. We're working with legislators. We're working with leadership. We're working with, you know, another thing on this, the Deidre announced early on, there will be no conflict of interest because we are turning all of this over to a contract independent person, Greg Bell, who will oversee every aspect of this election. We've never heard a word from Greg Bell. He's never weighed in on it. This would be the one time, Greg, if you're listening, come in, disqualify the governor, or at least say that he has to prove that he got his signature. That'd be the one act that he's done. Deidre's done everything, and Greg Bell was just a smokescreen, and people should be offended by that as well.
Has Greg Bell even been approached? Is that a lie?
Have you
verified that Greg Bell's involved?
I don't know. No, I don't know. Absolute silence. I've never seen a statement. I've never seen his face. I've never seen a response, an email. So from my observation, he is not part of this. You know, whether he has a contract, I don't know. He probably does have a contract, but
then if she made those declarations, again, your role is verification. If she has made those and claimed there has been a contract, and that's another fraudulent thing going on. It's all these things keep adding up. And again, if you're lying to begin with, if your whole basis is to cover up lies and malfeasance, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper, Deidre. Okay? Stop. Back up. Oops, I only got 33% of the delegate vote. I lost. Goodbye. Sayonara. Hit the road. Try again next year.
Yeah, it's 32.46%.
Less than a third. Thank you for that.
Less than 33%.
That's the accountant.
But who's counting, right? And I didn't know you're an accountant. That's no wonder we speak kind of the same language. And accountants really do. They kind of they really do kind of speak the same language. It's not what you want to hear. It's just the facts. It's like, I can't help it. That's what it says. So.
And I'm sorry if it's not popular, ladies and gentlemen. Truth never is. Very seldom is, anyway.
Well, you're amazing, and people that are willing to talk about this, I'm very, very grateful. I don't take it lightly, and sometimes it sounds like we're having fun and stuff, but ultimately, this is very, very important, and I see that. I hope other people see it.
There's never been a better time to buy gold and silver. To buy gold and silver direct, call our partners at Cornerstone Asset Metals.
Thanks, Drew. See ya.
You can reach them at 888-747-3309 and make sure to tell them the Power Hour sent you.
In a world full of uncertainties, one thing you can control is your preparedness. Heaven's Harvest is here to help you protect your family when it matters most. Imagine having peace of mind with every meal, knowing it's non-GMO and made right here in the USA. From emergency survival food that lasts up to 25 years to heirloom seeds that ensure your garden thrives, we've got you covered. Why wait for a crisis when you can be ready now? With Heaven's Harvest, you're not just buying supplies, you're investing in your family's future. Secure your peace of mind with Heaven's Harvest. Stay prepared, stay safe. Your family deserves it. Visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 and take the first step towards ultimate preparedness today.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV. A place for answers.